We had a fantastic time in Norway, and we was really lovingly received. We was very well taken care of. The hearts of the people there were very humble and meek. We were greeted. In fact, actually, we stayed in the Holiday Inn before the night we flew out. And as we arrived, we started to speak to this young girl who was going to sort our room out for us. And she was from Nepal. And I knew she was, but she didn't say she was until I started to say, I said, oh, where are you from? And she said, oh, Nepal. And then we told her how many times we've been to Nepal and how the power of God is working there mightily in the people and many healings, miracles, signs, wonders. And I shared with her how we first went there with some other believers, and there was only 15 people, around 15 people in when the work began there, and now there's thousands upon thousands. And she upgraded our room. So like she said, okay, I've upgraded your room for you. And we had this massive bathroom, I think it was bigger than the bedroom, wasn't it, love?
Yeah.
And so that was really kind of her. And we was opposite the, you know, where we could see the aeroplanes arrive and take off. And so it was a good start. And we was up nice and early in the morning, 4 o'clock. Kim was up 3:45, I was up at 4. And then we left the hotel for 5, and we had a bit of fun, didn't we, love, early in the morning. And so we had a great flight, and then we got the train from the airport in Oslo all the way to Sandvika, and that's where Siri Solid and her husband Knut lived. And Knut picked us up and with the dog, and so we just had a great time of fellowship with those guys, and we visited the different fellowships. And I just determined with God that I wasn't going to prepare nothing, that I was going to allow him to bring out what's in me to give to them. And also Kim done the same, and it was just a really great time. And I noticed a great difference in the heart of the people to receive what was being shared, and they were greatly encouraged, and we was also greatly encouraged seeing that God was really at work within the people there, and especially the young people of the older believers that maybe not have been fellowshipping like on a regular basis, some were. And one young girl really wanted to learn, and she wants to come to France because she can speak some French, her mum was telling me. And so she said, Mum, I want fellowship. And through that, other youth from the other families wanted to fellowship. So now the fellowships are growing there. And Siri also does a wonderful, like Kim was saying, a women's fellowship, and that's growing. Many different people are coming, many different needs, and they come from different backgrounds and church backgrounds as well. And then, so we then went to stay with Carl Morton on the Friday and the Saturday. Carl Morton Helwig, he was the coordinator for Norway in the old days. And he's a wonderful man, and his wife Britt, you know, received us lovingly, and they've been standing faithfully for years and years and years. And they've been through their tough times like we all have. Siri and Knut have been standing faithfully for years and years. And so these guys, there's a good nucleus of people with great heart for God. And God was really at work, and he really did give us what we needed to minister. And because he knows the hearts, and he knows what to direct. And so when we're at the point of humility, then we can start being bold to declare what God wants us to declare. And there's two types of boldness. There's our own five sense boldness, and then there's the godly boldness, where we speak and we edify people. And that we're not afraid of what people think about what we're saying, what we're declaring to them. And sometimes what we share, what God has given to us, could be a new concept to them and can be challenging. And especially speaking by the Spirit of God, that's the one concept a lot of people get challenged on. And I was thinking the other day, like, you know, what scriptures did Paul renew his mind to? He didn't have the church epistles like we had, right? And so, you know, Paul began in the Spirit, he received the Spirit of God. We know he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, many above his equals. But the transformation in Paul took place when Jesus Christ confronted him on the road to Damascus. And then he was prayed for, then he received Spirit, and he manifested, and he spent certain time with the disciples, and then he moved. He moved, and God was working with him and in him. And God is working with us and in us also. And you know, we've had an abundance of the word over the years. We've sat many classes. One class I think I must have sat about 50 times. You know, that was the foundational class that we all had, or many of us had. But, you know, it's not until God brings that out of us, when we're submitted to Him, when we're going to Him in prayer, when we're speaking in tongues, when we're putting away our own thoughts and ideas and our own efforts, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. And God knows how to get straight to the heart of a person. He knows how to build faith in people from the word that He gives us to speak. And so this is what we actually seen happen. And we exhorted people, we encouraged people, and we know that already the things that we ministered to is already at work in those people. And God is the one that is, you know, directing and leading. Jesus Christ is the head. And all we got to do is just be meek and humble to God and go to Him. And, you know, to walk in newness of life is to be led by the Spirit of God. And when we're being led by the Spirit of God, we are not conforming to this world. You know, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we will always talk that the key to power is the renewed mind. But it's not. It's the power that is the key to renewed mind. And as we put on the mind of Christ, as we walk in the truths that we know and understand, we're so blessed to have the scriptures written down for us so that we can see these truths, that we can know who we are in Christ. We can know what's been accomplished through the death, burial, resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, the pouring out of Holy Spirit. We can see how the apostles walked after they received the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. They were moved by God. We can see that when people are humble and meek and they receive the word with meekness and with a ready mind, that they rise up, that the word becomes effective in a person. And, you know, God is doing this. All this Skype fellowship, you know, this is what God is arranging. The meeting in France is a thought and a desire that God put in my heart, and I just spoke the thing out. And then God works in the hearts. So when people respond through a desire and a need to fellowship and a need to grow, then, you know, God can really work in their hearts and direct them. Now, this thing in France is going to be powerful. There's going to be healing, deliverance, direction, unity. And it's God that gives the unity. And it's as we submit, as we're faithful, as we look to God. And we've been privileged, me and Kim, really, to be able to travel the world, to see signs, miracles, and wonders, to see hearts and lives changed, to meet wonderful believers that stood upon the truths of the word that they know and encourage other people, great leadership, great people within the body of Christ, faithful people that run their fellowships. We have been so blessed. And obviously with our trip to the US in October and now our trip to Norway, I can really see that it's God that does all the work, all the preparation. All we got to do is have a willing heart. A willing heart to put aside our own ideas of how God moves, our own ideas of how God does things. And when we come to God and we say, Father, show me, teach me, lead me, guide me, He really will. And He really will supply what you need to give the people, because we're not in it for ourselves. We're in it because we love God and we want to be a blessing to God. We want to be to the praise of His glory. We want to be able to edify people and encourage people. And unless God's directing that, then it's coming through our flesh. It's coming through our education or knowledge of the scripture. But when God energizes the things, then He puts everything into perspective. And, you know, when I was thinking of the Apostle Paul, you know, when he went to the Gentiles, you know, what did he teach them? We know what he taught when he went to the Jews. He proved Jesus Christ from the scriptures, that this Jesus was Messiah. He fulfilled the scriptures. And, you know, people that knew the scriptures were able to go and to verify the things that Paul was saying with the scripture. But what did he teach the Gentiles? A lot of those Gentiles had no knowledge of the Jewish religion. Some may have had a little bit of a knowledge. But he spoke by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God was working him. He spoke the word of God. that's what Paul actually did. This new revelation was the word of God coming through the mouth of Paul. And God will give you what you need to say that will activate the people in front of you. And we just got to be bold in our God. When we're bold in our own strength or our own knowledge of the scriptures or our experiences, you know, we can end up becoming trapped in a tradition of this is how it is done. But with God, you know, there is no boundaries, there's no limits. And when we, you know, submit to Him and be bold and declare what He puts in our heart, then we will start to see signs, miracles and wonders, people coming from darkness to light in our countries like we know it in to be in other countries where the word's moving mightily and powerfully. And it's available. And it's just having a humble heart and a willing heart to learn. And I know I'm in a kind of transition right now in my walk. And God's teaching me plenty. And I really go to Him in that secret place. The time you spend with God, not just reading the scriptures, but speaking to the living, mighty God who you've got direct access to. You know, and He draws you into that relationship. We got direct access, but when He's bringing you before Him, then something's going on. And I know great things are going to continue to reach and expand. We may be divided in the sense of, I'm from UK, you're from US, you're from Portugal. But listen, there's only one body of Christ. And we've all got the same Spirit of God in us. There's no one bigger. There's no one better. There's no one that's got more angle on truth. God is working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I've seen this in Norway. We've been to Norway for the last 12 years. And 1 year I went 7 times. Because God was doing a work. There was a foundation being laid for them and for me. And we built up a great relationship. But this trip was totally different. Because God had His way. There was no agendas from me or anybody else. We just want to move with God. We want to build up the body of Christ. We want to see great things happen. And we're going to see it. Because God is faithful. And we're leaning on Him, not ourselves or our knowledge. But that's not to say we don't need the scriptures. Because from the scriptures, obviously, we learn. We know who we are in Christ. But there's a balance. It's got to be mixed up with the Spirit of God, man. And when it is, and we walk by that Spirit, we're led by that Spirit, we speak by that Spirit, then power and deliverance is going right to the hearts of the people. Just like Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, when he spoke, the hearts of the people were pierced to make a decision. And so your stand counts. You are important to God. He needs you, and He's given you the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And He needs a humble heart, and He needs us to cease from our own works and to enter into His rest. And that's what I've been doing, and I'm having a ball. I am so on fire because God has set me on fire, and the wonderful people in this fellowship are a great encouragement to me. And I thank all of you for joining, and that we continue to see this grow. We continue to have a vision of word over our countries where we live, over Europe definitely. And if any of the believers from Spain, Norway, Finland, Italy, wherever you are in Europe, there's a meeting that you can come to where you can be with other like-minded believers, where you can be blessed and encouraged. Come along to it. Get rid of the excuses. Come. Get rid of your pride. Come. A lot of people think, well, I'm with so-and-so. Well, let me tell you who I'm with. I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're with the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be nothing to stop you from getting that if you desire. So that's what I wanted to share. Teach me thy truth.
my quiet soul begins to hear your sweet voice so pure and clear. On you I'll wait all the day, Lord. To you I bring my life, Lord. Where you lead, I will follow. Every step, every day, my heart's plea is to walk closer to you each day. And give me the strength, Lord, to be all that your word says I can be. Understanding day by day. Thy word have I hid deep within the midst of my heart, so that I might not sin. It is your will and not mine own I seek. It is your word that you breathe, I your Son, Jesus Christ, who depended on your command, shows me how to reach for your hand. Where you lead, I will follow. Every step, every day, my heart to you each day. And give me the strength, Lord, to be all that your word says I can be, where you will lead, there I will.
bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Wonderful book of Ephesians. And, you know, this is where we're living right now. We're living in the age of grace. And it's God's grace, his unmerited divine favor, that really, when we're walking and talking with him, that he can lead and guide us. We have great examples throughout the Word of God that we can really sort of delve into. And but knowing now that we were dead in sins, got born again, with Jesus Christ got raised from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of God, and so are we. That's the grace. Jesus Christ made that available. So Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10 it says, "For we," put your name there, "are his workmanship." We are God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Workmanship, masterpiece. God created us in the image. We have everything we need to be a strong believer. God never made a failure. God didn't make mistakes. We are who we are in Christ Jesus. We all have different accomplishments. We have different personalities. But together we make that body. Can't have one without the other. You know, it says in the Word about, "I have no need of my arm," or "I have no need of my eye." You know, when we're all together, we fitly come together, fitly join together, and we can move real powerfully. Hang on, I have to start and read it again. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship," or his masterpiece, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Right? The good works. Well, we know that there are lots of things that are good works. Right? We're to be joyful. We're to let the peace of God rule. We can, you know, we don't walk after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. But also that we are to love God and to love our neighbor. I keep saying that over the last few weeks. We're to love God and to love our neighbor. These are the good works, guys. You know, we're to have meekness, gentleness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And if you're doing those things, then you know that you're walking with that God in Christ in you. And you are his masterpiece. Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 27 it says, "So God created man in his own image." And we know that God's image was spirit. "In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Again, he created us. Now, before we got born again, we were body and soul. Now, once we get born again, you believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, you become body, soul and spirit. God is spirit and he created us in his image. So you have body, soul and spirit. Now, we don't want to walk in that old man. That old man is not a good place to be. We want to be in the new man, walking by that spirit, not by our senses. And the whole Bible, you know, points out different things, points out people that walk by their senses and the things that happen to them. Not always good things either. But when you walk by that spirit, it's like a filter. God in Christ in you. And it filters out the bad. And when you're in that spirit, you are only doing that masterpiece, that workmanship that God wants you to do. Psalms. We are going to look at Psalms 139. Psalms is a real comforting book of the Bible. You know, you read it, you get blessed, you get encouraged. It really builds you up. The Psalm of David, you know, he just wrote these things down, really inspired, because we know it's inspired because it's there to bless us. We read it, we get so encouraged, so blessed. But we're going to Psalms 139, and in verse 14 it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, that is actually reverenced. You know, we're in awe of what God created in us. Now, I'm not saying I was actually created by my mum and dad, right? Mum and dad got together and I was born in the flesh. And when I met Lawrence and he shared the word with me, I believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, then I got born again. So I wasn't born, I was born as a baby by the flesh, by my parents. But when you get born again with God, it's that spirit, that new man gets created. You get to live in the spirit. You get to be full of the love of God. So carry on reading it. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, or reverenced, and wonderfully made. You know, really got to believe this, guys, that God never made a failure. You are wonderfully made, and he reverenced you. It says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. See, when you're walking by that spirit, you know the difference between good and evil. Well, on that note, I want you to turn, I've just lost it, to Joshua. And Joshua is a great book. You know, Joshua, well, if you don't know too much about Joshua, he was very courageous. You need to read it. Really get inspired, because he was a real great man of God. Having that courageous spirit, having no fear, being able to know that your God is going to be with you no matter what, that he never leaves you or forsakes you. But we're going to Joshua chapter 24. And I wanted to read all of it, but I don't have time. But we're going to go to verse 15. And it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, we know what happened to them, don't we? Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Then it goes on to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, our God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to put any gods before him. But again, it's down to us. As I shared a little bit earlier about free will, God give us free will. So you choose which God you're going to serve. Even if you're born again by that spirit, you can still be choosing the wrong God. You can still be walking by your senses rather than by your spirit. It's a very fine line at times. You know, that adversary, he gets smart. He tries to get the counterfeit so close to the genuine. But if you're in that spirit, you'll know the difference. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And we make that decisive decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's who we serve. We don't serve ourselves. We don't serve man. And I think it was David that shared earlier, you know, we are not to be a people pleaser either. But if we know what the truth of God's word says, then we will definitely know the difference between the good and the evil. And anyone with an ounce of sense will want to serve the true God. You know, we'll want to walk by that spirit. But again, it's down to you. Choose you this day. Do you want the cursings or do you want the blessings? That's how simple it is. God, in Ephesians 2:10, created a masterpiece. You have everything you need to live life to the fullest, to walk by that spirit, to serve God. Ephesians chapter 1, And we saw this. We saw this in Norway. They really are serving God. They are blessing each other. They're encouraging one another. They're exhorting one another, keeping God first. They're as one body moving together, knowing that God is the head, then Christ, then them. So Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, and here it is, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you're walking by that spirit, you're loving God and you're loving your neighbor, you're going to be without blame. You know, it's not that we love God and then we start backbiting, or we start to drift off into the old man nature and start, you know, causing divisions or having weakness in our life. No, we are to be holy and without blame. You know, the world's watching us. The world is watching us. The devil's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can point the fingers. But you know, when you're walking by that spirit, God's pointing the finger at the devil, not us. And in verse 7, jump on down to verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption. That redemption, you're bought with a price. You know, it costs God something. It really costs God something for us to have that Christ in us today. In whom we have redemption through his blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness or the remission of sins. You know, we got deliverance. God, Jesus Christ made that deliverance available, and it was according to the riches of his grace. See, it's the grace in wherein we stand right now. Forgiveness can also be the liberty as well. And I thought that was pretty neat. Because, you know, with God, it is liberty. It's freedom. You have free will choice. Free will choice to follow him or to follow the devil. It's entirely up to you. But we, as believers, always choose to follow God. You know, Jesus Christ was a great example. Never sinned, always did the Father's will. So you can't make a mistake there following Jesus Christ. And don't forget you have Christ in you. But you know, that flesh always wants to war if with the spirit. But so that spirit has to be really strong. And the way you get it strong is by speaking in tongues or reading the word. Speaking the word, you know, that all that energizes that spirit within you. 1 Corinthians, so back a few books, and just after Romans, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, we boast about Jesus Christ. We boast about that God in Christ in us. We can ask for wisdom. We have righteousness. We have sanctification because we are set apart from this world. And we have redemption. God created us as a workmanship, as a masterpiece. Everything we have, we get from God. And that he'll never leave us out there in the dark. If we need anything, he'll get it to us. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And I love that because I often look at Lawrence and think he's peculiar. But, you know, peculiar doesn't mean that you're strange. It means you're unique. You're unique. And as I shared just now, you know, where we are, who God created us to be, We are unique with our own personality. You know, Lawrence has a great ability of getting people's attentions, and because he's so meek and humble, you know, he can be all things to all men. It makes him a peculiar person, a unique person that can win people, that can encourage people. And it's the same for all of us. God's made us a peculiar people. He's seated us in the body where it pleases him so that we can be all things to all men. It goes on to say that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. He's called you out of the senses into his marvelous light, into the light of walking by that Spirit. Now, it's only us that puts us back in the darkness, because we then tend to lean to our senses. Oh, I don't feel too well today, or, you know, I've had a pretty rough day and I don't feel like doing this, or, you know, oh, I messed up yesterday, God's never going to be with me again. That is leading yourself into the darkness. Whereas when we come into the marvelous light, oh, I messed up yesterday, but God still loves me. He's created me to be his masterpiece, his creation that he created in me. You know, I'm his workmanship. You know, sometimes we have to really get ourselves back on the word and back in alignment and harmony, come out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. And if it means that we have to, like, self-talk ourselves, you know, back into believing rightly, then that's what we should do. Ephesians 2:10 I started with, and I'm going to finish with, because, you know, we're living in these epistles right now. So it's addressed to us. It's addressed to the born-again believer. In fact, the whole word is addressed to the born-again believer. You know, five-sense person can't fully understand the word of God. Yes, they can read it, but it doesn't mean to say they understand it. Again, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, there are many days that I feel anything but a masterpiece. However, the truth is the truth, and by God's grace, the good things that he has planned for me and my life do happen in spite of how I feel. Like the times that I've driven to work unblessed, and I start giving it to God, and then all of a sudden the phone rings and it's Lawrence, and he just has that fitly spoken word to bless me, to encourage me. God knows what we need. Wherever you are in your walk right now, whether you're in the darkness or whether you're in the light, God can really meet your needs. And all you have to do is remember Ephesians 2:10, that you are his workmanship, that he never ever made a failure. God's not into making failures. He's into making peculiar people, unique people that have the ability to love him and to love others. So even though I may feel unlike a masterpiece, the truth says that it's God's grace, and he still gives me good things. The plans that he has for me do happen in spite of how I feel. We are created with a purpose. First thing is that we believe what God says about us. And sometimes that's hard for people, to actually believe that they are this workmanship. You know, we can all look at ourselves in the mirror and see faults. We can see our sins. Well, no, Lawrence don't, because he's perfect. But he's an exception to the rule. But we can all look in that mirror and see our downfalls. We can see our pitfalls. We can see where we've messed up. But remember, guys, God doesn't see that. He sees this wonderful workmanship that he has created. That you've got Christ in you, and that he has given the ability for you to live in that where grace abounds. That peace, that love, that joy, that long-suffering, the meekness, the humbleness, the gentleness, that's where he's placed us. He's not looking at where you messed up yesterday. He's not looking at so you feel a little depressed. He's not looking at that, oh, I keep slipping back into my senses. But we have to believe what the word says about us. And once we've done that, then we can start to do the great works for the kingdom of God. You know, we have to stop listening to the lies of this world, guys. We got to start believing what God says, not what the world says. And then the third thing is that we just have to believe it, act on it, and receive the gifts and the promises that God's got in store for us. Because we are on a journey. And that journey won't end until Christ comes back. So let's make the most of each day while we can, living it to the fullest. You know, walking by that Spirit, really believing, having faith, because nothing else pleases God but the faith. And let's leave that old man in the past and just move on with the future of that God in Christ in you. That's what I wanted to share.
How sweet was the hour they sat down to eat with the Master. The room filled with laughter, their hearts filled with song. And the light from his face shines so bright with the love of his Father that no sickness could bother, no pain could remain. Then every sin was forgotten, every hardship behind them, when the meal began and he said, come dine with me, my friends, and feast forever. I bring you this bread of life, the Father's good pleasure. Come drink of this endless fount, the banquet is God's. Come sit and receive, it's yours and it's free. Come dine. And how rich was the day they ran up the hill with the Savior to live in the splendor of life with their Lord. And great crowds were amazed at the power displayed when he healed all the lame walking, strong and tall, the blind eyes now see. And every sin was forgotten, every burden behind them. When the baskets returned full, he said, come dine with me, my friends, and feast forever. I bring you this bread of life, the Father's good pleasure. Come drink of this endless fount, the banquet is God's. Come sit and receive, it's yours and it's free. Come dine with me. Oh, come now, don't wait, you workers, you weary. Take my life and you will see. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. You'll find great rest in me. Oh, come now, don't wait, you workers, you weary. I'll show you how to walk on the sea. You will never again be hungry or thirsty. It's abundance of life I bring, and grace upon grace I bring.
How strange was the day he said I must go back to my father. But I'll return with another to comfort your hearts. Then breathe in this new life I bring, and we'll go on together, feasting forever on the love of our God. And every sin was forgotten, every burden behind them, when they knew in their hearts what he said was, come dine with me, my friends, and live forever. I bring you this true bread of life. It's the Father's good pleasure. Come drink of this endless fount. The banquet is God's. Come sit and receive. It's yours and it's free. Come dine with me. Come sit and receive. Just taste and see. And dine with me. Come now and receive eternally, and you'll die.